This episode is brought to you by Skillshare. Given the relatively short lifespan, overheating, and battery supply issues of current battery technologies, they can't be used everywhere. Take satellites, high-altitude drones, healthcare, or even spacecraft, all of which require energy storage with a very long life. But some companies are claiming that diamond battery technology can kill two birds with one stone, creating energy storage that could last for thousands of years by putting nuclear waste to use, potentially powering everything from EVs to cell phones. Is this the holy grail of battery technology, or just hype? And more importantly, is it safe? Let's explore nanodiamond batteries and where this might be going. I'm Matt Farrell. Welcome to Undecided. Modern life relies on mobile battery-powered devices, at work, at home, at school, and while traveling. We need batteries for communication, transportation, storing energy from renewables like solar and wind, you name it. And it's undeniable that lithium-ion batteries have opened up a world of possibilities. Even though we've seen significant progress with lithium technology over the past few decades, challenges such as overheating, expensive casings, short lifespan, and underperformance in extreme temperatures still need to be overcome. So the quest for the holy grail of batteries continues. Aiming to reach carbon neutrality in the next few decades, batteries and renewable power sources need to evolve alongside each other to solve this puzzle. The International Renewable Energy Agency estimates that stationary battery storage will grow from only 2 gigawatts worldwide in 2017 to around 175 gigawatts in 2030. But batteries aren't the only way to compensate for the intermittent operation of solar and wind. We also have nuclear power. Nuclear accounted for about 10.3% of the world's electricity in 2019. It's widely considered to be a stable, carbon-friendly energy source that can be used to support the intermittency of other renewables. But besides being expensive and having long construction times, the unresolved problem of what to do with the long-lived radioactive waste is crucial for its development. There's a lot of not in my backyard to that debate. And if you're interested, I have a video on small modular reactors that gets into the future of nuclear power. As of today in the US, there are 96 commercial nuclear power reactors currently operating, and more than 90,000 metric tons of highly radioactive nuclear waste, including spent fuel and other material. Pulling together the challenges of conventional batteries and the problems derived from nuclear waste, a new technology called nanodiamond battery technology is being touted as an energy disruptive innovation. NDB, a California-based startup, made headlines when it announced that it completed two proof-of-concept tests of its nanodiamond battery, made from nuclear waste encased in artificial diamond. But the root of this energy storage technology is known as beta voltaics, which is powered by beta decay and goes back to the 1950s. In 1953, Paul Rappaport proposed the use of semiconductor materials to turn the energy from beta decay into electricity. Unlike your typical electricity generation technologies that utilize hydro or wind turbines to spin copper coils within magnets to produce electric current, beta voltaic devices can generate current when placed close to a radioactive source. Imagine placing a semiconductor material like silicon in a box with strontium-90, which is a radioisotope produced from nuclear fission. It has a half-life of almost 30 years. A semiconductor material like silicon can both act as an insulator or conductor depending on the conditions it's subjected to, like temperature, light, or electric current. It's actually very similar to how a solar cell works when collecting solar radiation. In this case, the radioactive element emits beta particles that separate electron and hole pairs in the semiconductor. Holes collect on the positive side and electrons collect on the negative side. Bridging the two sides allows the electrons and the holes to find each other, resulting in an electric current. In short, it turns radiation into electricity. Using this principle in 2016, researchers from the University of Bristol unveiled the world's first known diamond nuclear battery, which is based on this beta voltaic concept. Tom Scott, professor of materials at the University of Bristol, described the advantages as the emission-free, long-term production of clean energy from nuclear waste. A great portion of nuclear waste is graphite, which is used as a moderator and reflector in a nuclear reactor. The graphite becomes radioactive over time because of its exposure to radiation. And depending on the reactor type, the graphite blocks can be extremely large and heavy, as well as irradiated with long-lived radioisotopes, which makes graphite expensive and tricky to dispose of or recycle. The reason why graphite is important here is that radioactive graphite contains carbon-14, which turns into harmless nitrogen-14, an antineutrino, and an energetic electron, which is also known as a beta decay electron. But that's already too much information. I'm not going to turn this into a chemistry class. I would probably flunk that class. But the idea behind the research from the University of Bristol is to manufacture batteries that can harness this byproduct of C14 as energy. In its gas form, at low pressure and elevated temperatures, you can convert it into a radioactive diamond. Then for safety, you encapsulate it again in a non-radioactive diamond layer. So it's a radioactive diamond in a diamond. Now, even though researchers say that only a small level of radioactivity is detected near their diamond, would you really want a nuclear-powered pacemaker inside your body? Actually, there already was a plutonium-powered pacemaker, but that's a completely different video. Now, even though we typically equate nuclear power to great amounts of energy being produced, these beta-voltaic batteries can only generate power in the range of microwatts, which is why headlines and press releases about NDB batteries have been overselling it. This is not the future of electric vehicles. If their breakthrough proves to be true, it has some potential for very targeted scenarios. The difference between the batteries from Bristol and NDBs is the layers of encasing diamond. While the researchers of Bristol used only a diamond layer to protect the radioactive diamond, NDB combines multiple layers of paneled nanodiamonds to protect the core. Now, these micro-sized single crystal diamonds are very good at conducting heat, so they move heat away from the radioactive isotope materials so quickly that the transaction generates electricity. There are several concepts to ensure safety, but there's still so many questions around this since we haven't seen any test results from the company yet. But a couple of those things are diamond encapsulators, which is the most thermally conductive and hardest material available, in addition to containing the radiation within the device. Next up is the lock-in system, which helps to prevent proliferation of dangerous nuclear isotopes like plutonium and uranium. According to NDB, their battery uses an ion implantation mechanism that prevents it from being used for purposes other than power generation. Besides these safety claims, the company says that its technology has a maximum lifespan of 28,000 years and could one day become the source of low-carbon power for anything that needs it, from EVs to smartphones. Although this technology looks awesome, it's still highly questionable since the power coming from beta voltaics is so low. Remember, it's microwatts low. According to one report, the proof of concept design was evaluated by the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, which reported a 40% charge improvement in efficiency over a standard diamond. But I couldn't find any information on how Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory tested the proof of concept. Most of the claims have no hard evidence or proof yet, other than what NDB has reported. NDB doesn't fully explain what happens to the heat it generates during energy conversion, other than to describe thermal vents to dissipate the heat. The company mentions several possible applications in their website, like consumer electronics, automotive, medical devices, aerospace, but we still don't have any precise specifications. Yet, an image of the battery shows a power level of 100 microwatts. It's important to drive that point home. It's highly unlikely to power an electric vehicle, let alone an iPhone, at microwatt scale. But it doesn't mean that the tech doesn't work for more appropriate applications. If enough of these battery cells were combined, they could power small LED displays, or devices that require low power, like medical or communications devices. You can kind of think of Internet of Things or pacemakers. But powering EVs that demand an insane amount of energy is where the media coverage went a little bit overboard. So back into the land of reality, where do the benefits of these technologies make the most sense? And is there a market for it? But before I get to that, I'd like to thank Skillshare for sponsoring this video. They've built an incredible online learning community with thousands of classes from creators. And when it comes down to it, we're all creators. They've got classes for everything from writing to graphic design to web development to entrepreneurship and leadership. I'm continuing my productivity kick I've been on with Skillshare. I've talked about Thomas Frank's videos and working smarter, not harder. But today I'm recommending Marques Brownlee's class, YouTube Success, Script, Shoot, and Edit with MKBHD. It's probably obvious why I'm interested in this, but it's been eye-opening to see how he approaches planning video topics, hooking an audience, and shooting compelling videos. It's been so helpful seeing how another YouTube creator approaches their work. Everything on Skillshare is curated for learning, so there's no ads and they're always launching new premium classes. There's really something for everyone on Skillshare to continue learning and growing. There's nothing better than being able to do something today that you couldn't do yesterday. The first 1,000 people to use this link will get a 1-month free trial of Skillshare. Thanks to Skillshare and to all of you for supporting the channel. Now back to where nanodiamond batteries make the most sense, and if there's a market for it. Well, the company hopes to start selling the battery to commercial partners, including space agencies for long-duration missions by 2023. And NDB isn't alone in the nuclear diamond battery game. The scientists at Bristol saw a great opportunity in extracting and repurposing nuclear waste material, but without overselling it. They spun off Arcanlyte, it's a company they formed to take on the commercialization of their diamond battery concept. Morgan Boardman, the new company CEO, says, "It's a very novel approach, which we find that people like because it's sort of a cosmic rag and bone man narrative." He also points out that the technology can help with the carbon emissions challenge. "With the resources used to manufacture, say, a AAA battery, we would offset nearly 2.5 kilograms of carbon in the manufacture of an equivalent energy density of diamond batteries." Now, unlike NDB, Arc and Light doesn't claim their batteries will power cars or even laptops. That's because they provide thousands of times less power than a conventional AA battery, although they last thousands of times longer. Arc and Light's power cells would take about 5,000 years to reach 50% discharge. The company sees their batteries powering small detectors, wireless IoT devices, sensors, or medical implants. It can be mechanically stacked in a series or parallel for greater power, and can be paired with capacitors for intermittent high power use cases. In 2018, Bristol researchers did an interesting experiment to test out the strength and durability of their diamond batteries, placing them at the top of a volcano. In the experiment, a prototype of Arc and Light Beta Voltaics was used to power sensors inside a remote monitoring station, known as a dragon egg. The eggs were designed to be placed on an active volcano by drone in order to measure humidity, vibrations, and the emissions of toxic gases. They could remain in service for months without depleting their energy. Arc and Light aims to establish a factory at one of the several decommissioned nuclear power plants in the southwest of England, or possibly North Wales. That way, the company has easy access to carbon-14 isotopes for battery manufacturing. Boardman estimates that their carbon-14 batteries will begin appearing in devices by around 2024, if everything goes well. In terms of challenges, the use of radioactive material complicates matters, so manufacturing them involves a significant amount of more care and safety procedures that you wouldn't have with typical chemical batteries. While the process can be made safe, the safety infrastructure required to produce it and the governmental permissions come with big costs. Now, even though the researchers from both Bristol University and NDB claim their nuclear batteries have small or no radioactivity level due to that diamond containment, I'm not sure if I'd feel comfortable having a nuclear-powered cell phone, even if it was possible at this point. Putting aside the overhyped headlines, there's still some interesting promise and use cases for diamond batteries, even though they're still in the theoretical phase right now. We're going to wait a few more years until NDB and Arc and Light have some real prototypes and solid results to call this one, but not every battery technology has to be a lithium-ion killer. It's okay to have an exciting breakthrough for a targeted market, which is what this is. But what do you think? Putting aside the overhyped PR around this, do you think there's something here? Is it worth keeping an eye on? Jump in the comments and let me know. If you like this video, be sure to check out one of the ones I've linked to right here. Be sure to subscribe and hit that notification bell if you think I've earned it. And as always, thanks to all my patrons for helping to make these videos possible. My patrons get early ad-free versions of the videos, there's a private Discord group, and higher level patrons can join in monthly Zoom calls. Check out the link in the description for more details. But even if you aren't a patron or supporter, you're still doing something absolutely awesome just by watching and commenting. Thanks so much. I'll see you in the next one.